At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the American Horror Story Podcast. We're the officially unofficial podcast for American Horror Story. We're on the baldmove.com network. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
And we are here for Feedback Friday for episode 807. Traitor.
Put a little spice on that one.
I did. It's really early in the morning. I'm trying to get hyped. I don't have any additional thoughts on this episode.
You don't?
I don't.
Because we did not spend any time at all talking about who the titular traitor could be. Or in what sense? So one of those many meanings.
Do you have some theories? Some speculation?
Yes. There's one option, and that is Cordelia could be the traitor if she turned in her girls as an option.
That's a weird use of the word traitor, though, because...
Yeah, I guess it implies a little bit more
sacrificer.
Like covert...
She'd be a sacrificer.
Right. Yeah. What do you think?
I guess if I had to make a guess...
And you have to.
It would be either Madison or Dinah.
Or...
Because there's always been that tension between... The Madame LaCroix.
LaCroix.
Yeah. School of Witchcraft and yes. the Voodoo School of Witchcraft.
Yes.
So she might be angry. I mean, obviously there's a lot to be angry there as far as Fiona's bullshit directly got their Voodoo Queen killed. There again, that'd be an odd use of traitor because they're not... At best, they're uneasy allies. So, like, traitor, like someone within your organization backstabs you. And Dinah's not within the organization. It's probably Madison. Like, they've kind of hinted that throughout this whole season that, she might be beholden to Michael for pulling her out of hell.
You think it's beholden now?
Beholden? Yeah, Madison, beholden, both are the traitors. I mean, the other thing is, like, a plain reading of the episode is that the traitors were the warlocks, Pennypacker and, whatever the other guy's name was. Gloryhound. Pennypacker and Gloryhound, they were the traitors because they betrayed all of witch and warlockdom for the Antichrist.
Right, they betrayed all rules for conventional naming guidelines.
Okay, let's get into the feedback.
Let's get into it.
You can send that to ahs@baldmove.com if you care to. Or on our forums, forums.baldmove.com, we have an episode thread every week where we can talk about stuff. Patrick C's, first up, this latest episode annoyed me because it has gone against my theory that Ryan Murphy cannot concentrate and deliver a focused, entertaining story. It was, dare I say it, enjoyable, furthered the plot, and cut a few dangling threads that we were all wondering about. While I was confused as to where Misty was, the show has seemed to let us know that it will tell us these things when it is ready, as with Myrtle. Now, is that Misty May, Misty Faye,
mm-hmm.
Or Misty K?
Oh, you're right. It is Misty K.
I hear that if you sell $100,000 of the Misty K products, you get a pink broomstick. I now think everyone who showed up then has a part to play, including dead teens. Also, that was my bang, the drum to bang, and I forgot to bang it for the last, like, what, week or two? Mm. I've completely forgotten about the dead teenagers.
Don't bang the drum, someone's gonna do it.
Yeah, well, they're teenagers, you might want to look into that. Okay, I'm gonna run in the other direction on this theory. I think the teenagers were essentially like Janet Leigh in Psycho. They were intended to suck you in and think they're the main characters, and then early on, they're done, and it's shocking,
right?
Because anyone can die. They're the Sean Beans of this season.
Why?
They come back next week. I don't know.
Because it just needs to waste some time.
Well, I mean, there's only what, 2 episodes left in the season? Three?
I don't know.
Even if they came back next week, what meaningful part would they have to play?
I mean, it's a Halloween episode, so it is literally anything.
It is a Halloween episode. I also think that there is a little bit. We talked about, you know, it was a short podcast. We didn't get a ton of feedback this week. I think. I'm starting to think that this episode is a little bit of jogging in place because Murphy wanted to hit his mark of the what's we're going to pre-certify as a banger, the Halloween episode next week. It actually happens on a Wednesday. It's actually on Halloween. There's going to be a lot of spooky energy pumped into it. I think shit is going to break loose next week. But that's my new theory.
Yeah.
The teenagers are just going to be gone unless. As has been speculated, this is going to be a 2-parter season.
Right.
In which case, then maybe they figure on the back half of this.
What if the teenagers are descendants of Twisty the Clown and Dandy?
Why not?
And this is their fate. And then the Twisty the Clown and Dandy and Edward Mordrake and... everyone, that's just freak show people, but everyone who comes back on Halloween.
Holy shit.
What Lady Gaga.
Edward Mordrake brings everyone who's ever died on American Horror Story back on Halloween and storms the fucking gates, man.
Yes, how much fun would that be? That's a true apocalypse, right?
They'll be like the scrubbing bubble ghost that Aragorn recruited to storm Minas Tirith. Is Minas Tirith? Man, I've gotten so far out of Tolkien that I don't even know my mythos anymore.
What do you think the chances are to get Angela Bassett back?
I think with all the witches being resurrected, establishing Dinah as a witch, the odds are almost 100%.
Right.
And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, if you can get Constance Langdon back, then surely you can get Angela Bassett at least for one Halloween episode.
Yeah.
But then again, I didn't see it on Twitter or Instagram. Ryan Murphy, so...
yeah. It'd be conspicuous absence.
Also didn't know Nan was coming back.
That's true. Of course, we didn't really get Nan back. Nan was just kind of like a cameo.
That's what Constance Langdon was.
Maybe in the final war, Papa Legba sides with the witches and brings everybody back. Like, he brings Nan back. He brings... I forget what Angela Bassett's character was. He brings back Fiona Good. Everybody comes back.
Everybody.
Storming the gates. We're just like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What if they all come back?
Take the path of the dead, Cordelia.
What if they all come back as coven-style zombies?
Oh, shit.
Like Marie Laveau's daughters did.
That'd be pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah. That was, my favorite Halloween episode. Let's get back to Patrick. Patrick, again, has been kind of nervously shuffling his feet here. I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Also, I am still not convinced Mallory is the Supreme. I think Cordelia's powers and energies are being siphoned by a more powerful being, but Mallory is not her successor. I think by the end, Cordelia will walk away from all this. This is the first time since the first season of Glee that I wanted a Ryan Murphy show to have more episodes, and I hope there are more seasons of these characters, though with limited episode numbers, to keep things on track. Clearly, you can tell I have issues with Murphy and his tangential, if not disinterested, storytelling.
Tangential?
Tangential. Tangential.
He's got tangenitals.
Tangential. Patrick, you and me both. I feel like the Mallory as an angel theory is a little bit exploded, since essentially the things that were carrying it were Michael's freak out at her and the fact she was wearing all white and opposing to the witches all black. Well, she's all black with she's gotten in formation with the other ladies this year.
Yes.
Or this episode. So that's one of the legs of the angel theory knocked out, and now she's just hopping on that theory's just hopping on one.
Yeah, and I loved everything. I want to talk about the fashion for a second.
Okay,
something I often forget to do with you because I know you don't give a shit.
That's not. How dare you? How dare you?
But I really loved everything that Mallory was wearing in this episode. Do you think that I can pull off the gold leaf style headband? because I'm really strongly considering it.
I don't know why you couldn't.
This witch, the what about modern day witch look is really popular right now. You know, like a wide brim hat and like a lacy overlay dress.
Sure.
It's, I'm loving it.
Sure. It's like, it looks like the kind of thing you'd wear to a funeral where everyone secretly has box wine in their purses. We also really like Taisa. We also liked her outfit in that final scene.
Yes.
She had like this interesting alternating stripes of like black and see-through material. And then she had like some complicated negligee.
Oh, right. She had like
stockings that kind of lined up and yeah, it was really cute.
Yeah. That's a real good outfit. Strong fashion choices this year. Can I also mention that it seems like they're kind of overdoing it with her makeup.
Who's?
Thaisa Farmiga.
Really?
She's got
that kind of fresh-faced, dewy complexion. I don't know why you would do that.
Right, exactly. It's not something I look for, but it stood out to me while I was watching the episode. It just seemed like maybe they had to.
I didn't notice. So, but then again, like even though I was took mild offense at your saying that I don't like fashion.
I don't
pay as much attention to it as you.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. Not like you're a man, so there's no way you could enjoy this. But
I am a man, but I contain multitudes.
But clearly, I noticed some subtleties even then that you did not.
TB in Kansas. I understand your quantum leap theory about why characters don't seem to
To Binkensaw, as
we better know him. I understand your quantum leap theory about why characters don't seem to recognize the fact that other characters from past seasons look exactly like characters from this season. But what about characters that have only appeared in this season? What's the point of having Joan Collins play two different characters in the same season, for example? Unlike some of the others, she's not playing a character from a previous season. She's simply playing a completely different character in the same season. Why couldn't she have been Bubbles McGee from the start under a memory spell like Mallory and Coco? Are you sure that's not what's happening, TB? Because I took it as gospel that that's exactly what's going on.
I did not get that impression. Because we see...
I mean, Bubbles McGee is like her stage name, right? So...
I mean, you're making an assumption.
Well, sure, I am. But, like, I think it's equally an assumption to say they're not the same people. When we've been in watching a series where everyone that was in this house seems to have been a witch, and they have memory spells, and they are doing some kind of deep cover assignment, I just assumed that, yeah, she was the same character, just with a different name. Well, they didn't really
name
anyone, though.
I don't believe that she is. For one, there is just the obvious visual difference that they tried to give us with her hair.
Really?
Yeah, the big white hair. And she seemed like she was having tea or dinner with Myrtle, which would lead you to believe that maybe she was on the council if she was the same person. So when we see modern timeline, or the farthest along that we've seen so far, we see that Dinah and Mallory and Coco are brought back, but Bubbles is not. If she is his grandmother in the current season, if she's playing the same person with the memory spell, why wouldn't they bring her back at the same time?
Hmm.
So that's what makes me think that it's not.
The other thing is, this could be like a low-profile thing that the witches are doing, because we think that in the American Horror Story universe, that Stevie Nicks is actually a witch.
Yes.
But people don't know that. That's not something she's not out of the broomstick closet.
No, I believe she is in real life and the show.
Okay. But even then, it's pretty down low. I think that maybe that's since she's a celebrity, this Bubbles McGee... I don't love that name.
Yeah.
That she's similarly like downplaying her witchcraft. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. I got a pretty good track record so far this season.
She's downplaying her witchcraft by pretending to be just a regular old billionaire or millionaire.
Well, Stevie, are you trying to fame shame me? Like you think Bubbles McGee is more famous than Stevie Nicks? That she can't pull that off?
No, I'm talking about I don't know. Why would you?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
You're
arguing that she's pretending to have a low profile by having a second high profile identity?
No, I'm just saying that, she's had her identity changed because of the identity switching spell. And how would you hide faded celebrity star, I guess, by making her a wealthy socialite. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, do you think this is...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, you got to kind of slot them in, like, societal slots. Anyway, or maybe that's a bad idea. Maybe you do, like, the Man in the Iron Mask, where, you know, if you switch them with a commoner. Whatever. TB continues, do you think Ryan Murphy is taking advantage of the fact that we're too willing to hand wave away this kind of stuff? It's making who's who awfully confusing. I mean, obviously this isn't ideal storytelling, since three people have watched it at least and come away with a completely different theories about what's going on here, but I mean, I don't know. I guess I'll only have a problem with this if it turns out that she is, in fact, a different character than Mr. Gallant's grandmother. If Bubbles and that character are completely separate. So I'm gonna give it a couple weeks to complain, and even then, probably won't complain too hard.
Yes, you will. This is American Horror Story.
But he's been given really good AHS this year. Speaking of which, what's the deal with Dinah? We were originally told she was a famous talk show host. Was she under memory spell, too? If so, did the witches put a spell on the entire world to make them think Dinah was a famous talk show host? I mean, if no. They made everyone think Bubbles McGee is a billionaire socialite, sure, why not?
Yeah, you only... Oh, yeah.
Or was the Voodoo Queen really moonlighting as a talk show host on the side? I think that's possible. Again, Stevie Nicks is a fucking witch. Why are people having trouble with wealthy and famous witches hiding in plain sight?
No. I think I'm on Tabinkinsaw's side on this one. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
All right.
Don't peer in too close, but... You know, another idea, if we want to just hand wave things away, is consider that the only people they needed to convince were the people in that bunker. They could very well have woken up in the bunker Monday morning or whatever they went over there, and that was when the spell had been placed on them. They believed he was a hairdresser, and she's Coco's assistant, and they got on a plane.
That was like a one-day kind of thing.
Right.
That's interesting.
An option. And if I don't get a more satisfying answer, that's when I'm going to just remember as canon.
Yeah.
In order to keep my own sanity.
Well, there's...
I suggest you do the same.
There's a theory, and I apologize, this might have been something that got emailed to us, or it might be something that I read. If we get to it in the feedback, I'll give you credit for it. But I saw a theory that next week's episode is essentially going to be Michael's side of this tale. Like the people that he's gone around and memory wiped and given different identities, and like his super team to assemble against the witches, and they're going to show like that side of things being put together. So I don't know, maybe.
Think Mr. Gallant's a secret warlock?
If not a secret warlock, then maybe a demon spawn or a devil worshiper. Like those are his acolytes.
Devil adjacent.
He's devil adjacent, exactly. With only three episodes left, I'm not confident we're going to get answers to these questions. Your thoughts? No, I think we'll definitely know whether Bubbles McGee and Grandma Gallant are the same person, and I definitely think they're going to clear up, you know, Dinah's involvement in this too. But we'll see. Because I think that both of those are borderline deal breakers if those are ambiguous up to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Jamie in Seattle, what if the aliens in Asylum were really angels? Hear me out here. There's been a lot of talk of how maybe Mallory is an angel since her powers seem beyond your run-of-the-mill witch, even a supreme. Then Michael's obviously half-demon, spawn of Satan. Murder House was built over the mouth of hell. Asylum featured a demon possession of Sister Mary Eunice throughout. Coven has Papa Legba. Freak Show has that, but Papa Legba... Because I did some research into that, and the voodoo cults have to say that there's angels and devils and hells, and they're exactly like Catholicism understands them, I think is a reach, but whatever, we'll keep rolling, Jamie. Freak Show had Edward Mordrake, who was possessed by that little evil, the little evil Voldemort face of his. Jeez, Edward Mordrake Voldemort, that's a mouthful. Hotel had that crazy rapey torpedo penis guy, plus it's basically a purgatory building. Roanoke, well, I'm pretty sure there's a demon or several there, but honestly, I've done my best to block that whole season out. Well, it did feature the first Supreme.
First ever Supreme Witch.
So there's a connect, not really a heaven-hell connection, but there is a connection. Anyway, what if it's a seemingly different yet real... What if they bring back Lady... What if Cordelia reaches way back to the very first witch in America and brings the Ur-Witch back to life?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Like, you know, Satan, you're going to bring the Antichrist, then we're going to have to bring our thunder, too.
Right. But then it would
No of these false cries for civility in the witch versus demon wars.
Then it becomes very much like the movie The Witch in the horror movie The Witch. You're familiar with what I'm talking about?
I am familiar. They're going to bring and then Black Phillip, too.
Right, yeah.
It's escalation.
They start grinding up babies and... the way they did things back then, you know, like most of America, we really don't need to repeat it.
Yeah, right. They just, you know,
I know that's how things were back then.
Hey, in 2018, witches have learned and grown, and we understand that grinding up babies for our glamour spells just isn't necessary. You can just say a few words.
Right.
Or at most, pig's blood will do. You don't have to abduct and grind up babies.
Right.
That's part of the shameful witch past of America.
Yeah, and we can wear clothes now.
Yes.
And we can brush our hair and braid it.
Yeah, fabulous clothes, in fact.
Absolutely.
I'm going to skip over cult 2 for the sake of argument. Okay, yeah, let's do that.
If they bring the Urwidge back, can we at least get a makeover montage?
Right, because she needed some work.
There's a hairdresser in... That's Mr. Gallant's whole point.
Oh, you're right.
Maybe his secret warlock power is hairdressing still, but this is... Okay, this is my new favorite theory.
I would love to take the image of Lady Gaga and the terrible, ugly Urwitch makeup and superimpose that onto, you know, her saying to Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born, everyone's loved my voice, but they've said that they just hate my look, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, well, it needs some work. Need some work there. Anyways, what if the seemingly different yet related seasons have really been put into play on Angels versus Demons the whole time? All theories are in play, right? Cecily called it, so we have to allow it, Jamie.
Theories.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's some of these traditions I don't think have quite to do with the devils and angels, but if it gets us a good season 8, I'm in on it. Gunat from Cali. Anybody else randomly make the opening credit to distorted creepy sounds with their voice in public? I don't know what you're talking about, Gunat. I've never ever contemplating doing such a thing. You, Cecily?
No, never.
All right. I mean, that's super embarrassing for you, man. I'm sorry. Moving on, Jesse. I hate to nitpick, but the muffin wouldn't be the exact amount of calories as the app. What you know? I think you love the nitpick. I think you do love the nitpick,
this
sir
seems
or
like,
madam.
Exactly. I think this seems like an impossible task. Yeah. You have a muffin and there's a slight variation of size. It's
like there's this one had one more chocolate chip than the other. Boom, there's three more calories. But as they say, they wouldn't weigh exactly the same. They'd vary in ingredients, etc. It'd be around that weight, which I believe more. It annoyed me. It took me off the ride for a minute. What if her witch power is actually changing the atomic structure of the snack to match its nutritional information label? We thought it was a chicken egg. It's actually an egg chicken situation.
Yes.
Jesse says more proof Billie Lourd might be an angel. Remember back when she showed her powers and she said something like, and Michael said, I thought I'd killed them all, but there's one left. The thought was he realized she was a witch, but maybe he realized she was an angel. He must have felt the other woman's witchiness, right? And had to have known he hadn't killed them. I mean, I don't know. I think that she also was wearing black. So checkmate, angel theorists. I mean, yeah, it could be. But like, you think that he would also... But there's one left. I mean, he's referring to killing witches here. So this would have to be a pretty skewed reading to say he was actually talking about, like, was he run around killing angels too? We haven't seen any of that.
No.
But like I said, I'm not too invested in any one theory. So if this was true or not true, it's not gonna ruffle my feathers very much.
Right.
Red Lancer, also from Seattle. Apparently American Horror Story is just Seattle's a hotbed of American Horror Story support. I'm thinking now that everybody was part...
Is that where the Hell Pit is in real life? Is that why there are so many fans there?
It's built underneath Dick's Burgers. I'm thinking that's the only way to explain they're so good. It's got to be a Faustian deal with the devil. I'm thinking now that everyone who's part of our first group of initial bunker residents will turn out to be some kind of sleeper agent, either for Team Witch or Team Satan. Ah, see? Red Lancer. I stole your theory, and I discussed it 5 minutes before. So we've already seen that Cordelia put several witches in place after wiping their identities, and I think this next episode will flesh out the ones Michael has put in play. Totally love that theory and excited to see it play out for this Halloween season. The only variable will be how the two teenagers fit in once everybody's cards are on the table. They're total Janet Leigh head fakes, man. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to some Mission Impossible level reveals where we find that Cordelia was 10 steps ahead the entire time. Ooh, I would like to see Cordelia outthink the warlock or the Antichrist.
Of course. That's what everyone wants, right?
Because she can't be more powerful. I mean, this guy's already killed the whole... Like, I wonder if Mallory is just... They're building her up to be an exceptionally powerful Supreme because she's going to be able to completely undo the Holocaust. She can just... She'll like, at the sacrifice... Like, maybe at the possible cost of her own life, she'll be able to magic everyone else back into existence.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So, I'd like to see what you guys think of that one.
I would like her to stick around, though. If we're going to get more witches in the future.
Yeah,
I like her
totally.
Specific kind of power.
But at the end of this storyline, when in the fullness of time and Ryan Murphy, it's finished, then we should... that's something... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Jamie91. Okay, guys, I'm back on board. I was worried because I felt like you were hanging by a thread there for a while. I love this episode. Definitely my favorite one of the season. This was active, in all caps, storytelling. The episode is a testament to Cordelia's leadership, badass skills, and bravery. I mean, really, she's a pretty cool heroine if you think about it. I do, all the time. she is amazing. Coven's my favorite season, and she's fucking awesome. I also it also is a great writer's choice to sideline Michael Langdon completely from the plot. They did this in Freak Show with the Orphans episode, where Dandy set out the week during the Pepper episode. It's a good choice. It focuses more on the decent/good guys and the waves of conflict and struggle. Also, if you notice Michael was away and contemplating in solitude, this is what Christ did in the desert for 40 days during the events that led up to his crucifixion. So, maybe Michael is just, like, jacking off on his Apple computer in frenzied excitement for our complete annihilation. But last night's episode... just as Christ did. But last night's episode of television was hella fun. Except, for course, he'd be the opposite. Christ would be jacking at the thought of all of our salvation. Whereas Michael, as the Antichrist, would be jacking it to, or maybe he's observing. There's like a No Jerk November is a thing now on the internet.
Yeah.
The fuck, man.
Because the only people doing it are jerks, ironically.
Yeah, I mean, I find it hard to believe that someone that one's problems are caused by their masturbation. But you know, whatever. If it helps you focus your chi or whatever, then go for it.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna risk breaking my streak. things are going pretty good. don't wanna mess anything up. So I will continue to jack it throughout November and the rest of my life probably.
The rest of your life.
Last night's up
nonstop.
Nonstop. Last night's like Alexander Hamilton. That'd be so funny. Why does he jerk like he's running out of time? Jerk day and night like he's running out of time.
I don't understand that reference.
You didn't?
No,
do?
I do not.
Oh. See, I've listened, like, Jack got, anyway, this is getting way off topic. Last night's episode of television was hella fun. Also, Cheyenne Jackson has my heart. I fucking love him. Oh, and speculative thought, did you get the impression that John Henry and Behold were once a thing, or is my nose off? Well, I mean, come on, Jamie, you know how warlock school goes. Everybody kind of, you know, has little giggly trysts here
and
there.
What happens in warlock school stays in warlock school.
Right, right. Also,
there's a reason they built it underground.
That's true. That's true. Do we think that there are any more spies within Cordelia's coven? I think Madison is the obvious candidate. But I think she's a conflicted spy. She has strong double agent possibilities. Or, like, you know, maybe Michael thinks that she is his ace in the hole, and she's going to reveal that she's been on Team Cordelia the whole time and fuck him over right at a critical moment.
Hmm. I like it.
Finally, short but sweet, his dudeness from Georgia. Best part of this episode is having Jamie Brewer back, even though it was very short-lived. I'm hoping that her and Papa Legba come back. They have to. You don't bring Papa Leg. You don't get you don't get Lieutenant Cedric Daniels back in that crazy get-up unless you're going to do it again, right?
Right.
So I feel like there'll definitely be some more Jamie Brewer and some more Papa Legba, some more Nan and Papa Legba, because especially right. since she's his chief mischief maker,
chief.
Sounds like an ally you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the wars to come.
Yeah, it's got to be so infuriating for him. He keeps showing up for these white witches
mm-hmm.
as much as, you know, he says he's not going to, and the voodoo queens are right. like, no, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And he shows up, you know, agrees to do it anyway. And then he's like, your soul is no good to me. You've wasted all of our time.
Yep.
And twice now?
Yeah.
You know what? No soul once, shame on you. No soul twice, shame on me.
Yeah, no, he's these white witches be tricking.
Yeah, yeah.
They're salt. They're not sugar mamas. They're salt mamas.
Salt mamas.
So that's it. That's our episode for this week. I am looking forward to a banger Halloween episode on Halloween. We're going to come home and we're going to be all jacked up on candy and spooky stuff. And you're going to be bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
We're going to sit down and open up our eye holes and see what Murphy's got for us. We'll be back next Wednesday for the Halloween candy fueled instant take. And then back next Friday for Feedback Friday, of course.
Yes.
Please send that feedback in to ahs@baldmove.com or get on our forums, forums.baldmove.com. It's a lot of fun. And until then, have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Ma